That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, May 13th, 2023, and we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Josh from way down south, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Zach, out there in Michigan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we saved the best for last. Brother Paul, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. The program, Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this morning. It's beautiful. Got storm clouds all around, but we're not supposed to have rain today here, but I think everybody else is getting it. But we thank you for joining us. It's a live program. We'll have the phone lines open here in a bit, and hopefully you have your coffee and your Bible, and from there we'll just see where it goes. But we're going to open up in prayer first. Jason, do you want to open us up in prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you be with us, that you be with your remnant, Father, and that you just continue to guide and direct your people and be with us and protect us, Father. As we see this invasion taking place, Father, we know that you are our God and we are your people. And, Father, we just put our trust in you and we smile at the future. And we ask, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the forces that are trying to come against us in all ways, shapes, or forms. Father, we pray, Father, that you do a mighty and an awesome work, Father, and that you turn the hearts and minds of your people back to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And, Jason, just as you prayed, the The invasion just, we thought that the last couple of years that we had been invaded, but it looks like it may be doubling or tripling with the so-called Title 42 restrictions on immigration, is how the government puts it. Supposedly, that's been limited the last couple of years. Now it's over, and now it is just utter chaos. Seeing all types of reports from the National Guard having to put up razor wire to try to funnel people in certain directions, hold people back. Saw this headline that for tracking purposes, what the government's doing is all these foreigners are coming in, so they give them phones when they come in. Cost to the U.S. taxpayer $360,000 a day to pass out phones to these illegals coming in. And the government says, well, that's how we're tracking them. Yeah, yeah. Like they don't get tossed in the, you know, in the garbage can on the way out. But we read through when we read through the Bible, especially with this ministry, we're somewhat familiar with the Babylonian captivity that Israel went through the Babylonian captivities. And when this happened, you know, they were invaded. The demographics changed. And the invaders were mightier and overpowered the people of the land and outnumbered them and took them over. And these numbers that we're seeing, other people are talking about it too in the not just the media but the alternatives. You know, Chuck Baldwin, pastor out in Montana, and he puts a few messages out, and you know his latest message: arm yourself in response to this invasion and the you know, just the lawlessness in the land. And then in News with Views, Frosty Woolridge, his last one, does a great job on pointing out the statistics and numbers. And it's called Full-Scale Invasion of America, the Serious Ramifications to All of Us. And the numbers that he puts out, factual numbers, and it shows that it's just unsustainable, that there's no way that America as a nation can allow this and remain as a nation. It's just that simple. And so anyway, I just mentioned just those couple because we're seeing it. You know, it's certainly not just us talking about it here on Saturday morning and Sundays and in our circles, but it is all over. And more and more people are seeing it for what it is, full-scale invasion and, you know, chaos. Some of the Republican representatives have been down at the border and reporting on that it is just absolute chaos, comparing it to the debacle of the latest withdrawal from Afghanistan, where it was, and we saw that on the TV screen, just the rioting and the rushing and the killing and we're having that in Texas, you know, but I don't know. It my hope is that just more and more people wake up to it and return to God to get it to have it stop before it's too late. So thought we'd lead off with that this morning. Thoughts?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, and it might take an invasion. What's it going to take to turn a nation back to God? I mean, and if we look through history and through our Bible, you know, sometimes Israel had to be brought down real low before they turned back to God. I mean, but, you know, and it, it, He's still in control, and you know that's it's going to take. He's going to take us as far as we need to go to turn back to him and to get back to his principles. I mean, right now we've been talking about it. Me and Tim have been talking about it for years about how there was this war and this was an invasion, and it was acts of war that were being taken place. And right now it's the southern border, but we got a lot of people that are coming in. It's kind of interesting that the amount of Guatemalans that are coming in from the southern border is kind of interesting. And then you've got even those that are warring against each other down there. I mean, Greg Abbott, he's getting attacked furiously by the left, and they're fighting amongst themselves, and that's one of the things that I've noticed is there is a lot of fighting amongst themselves, even down there on reporting on this opening up the border, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Tim, you had some information on that too, didn't you?
On the border being opened up, you mean?
Yeah.
They've got those people lined up, but I think they've continued to pour through even before this whole Title 42 thing. They've just decided to put a pin in the balloon and make a big noise about it all of a sudden. I mean, those things have been gone. We've had a lot of Chinese coming in. It's an asymmetrical warfare move. It's been going on for quite a while. There was a reason in the Bible that, when the children of Israel showed up, in those Canaanite cities, they were worried about them spying out the land, or they were worried about those sort of things, because that's a very old warfare set, is to bring up the adverse population in an enemy's place until you finally hit a flashpoint where you think you've got a shot, and you got troops on the ground without a big troop movement. So. And definitely the majority of these men statistically, or the majority of these people that are coming across the border, are military age. I mean, they're between the ages of 18 and 28, I think, is the highest number, is what I recollect. So that's very strange. I mean, you'd think by the time you're almost 30 years old, you'd have some roots where you were, and you'd want to make it boggles the mind. But on the other hand, we're seeing people wake up all over the place. I mean, people are coming out of their shells. You want to talk about things going on. One of the we've got gun sales at an all-time high. We've got people searching for answers from God at an all-time high. I mean, non-Christian people, they're going, okay. We've got atheists turning to God. It just seems like every week there's a new one, Well, I was an atheist and I wrote books, and they're trying to find God. And it reminds me, and I don't have a reference or an address, but it reminds me of that verse in the Bible that says they'll seek God, so they're seeking. I mean, it's like, I think we're seeing a changing event going on around us, and, they better hurry up. That's all I got to say. They better hurry up and find him. And, man, the learning curve is steep. So they better light a fire under themselves. So, because somebody's gunning. So.
Well, and one of the things that is sad, too, is you see, so many people that, I mean, and I don't know if you want to say that they're forced to hire these people, but there's still very few white people, Caucasians, that want to work. I know just recently here a guy that has a big hay operation over not too far east of us, and he hired a whole crew of Guatemalans to come in and work for him because he couldn't get any white people to show up for work. And that's and I hear that from all kinds of people, people in the roofing industry and the plumbing industry and in the farming industry and this is the first time I heard about it in hay and operation, but, it's Guatemalans and they give them a place to live and they stack and pack them in there. And, it's really sad, but it's, so many of these white people, they just, they don't want to work. They don't want to put any hours in. They don't want to show up when they're supposed to. They're not responsible. And, you know, you look at it, you know, what's happened to our society, and it's sad that it's that way, but, you know, you look at these, a lot of these factory jobs around here, the dairies, the, I mean, all different kinds of stuff that, you know, they might have one person on a crew that speaks English, the hombre, and the rest of them are, you know, Spanish-speaking, Guatemalan-speaking, which I think that is Spanish, and there's, you know, a bunch of them that just don't speak English, and, you know, it's really sad, but it's like, you know, how do you expect some of these people to be in business?
Well, without no help, you know, I talked to a guy, they had a guy work for them for a couple of years, and then now they, when spring come, they're in ag sales and stuff like that. Right when they need him, he quit and went somewhere else. You know, there's no vision, there's no compassion to help someone in need. The children today have no vision. You know, Zach touched that on a while back when they played that YouTube thing on there. The kids have no purpose. They don't know who they are. You know, we've fallen away so far. Most of their parents and grandparents don't know who they are. So, you know, and they have the old church is all they got, everybody over 60. Kids aren't going to church no more. And that's not wrong because there's nothing there and they kind of sense it. But they're going to go somewhere. You know, and Zach talked about going on YouTube for these people because that's where they're at. And you have to. You have to go where they're at. But they've lost their purpose. And God's keeping his word. He said the alien will roll over, you'll consume your goods and everything. And he just opened the floodgate, and they're coming. And, you know, it's way late to even try to stop it because it's so overwhelming. But when we are hopeless, that's when God steps in. You know, he says, if you don't keep my law, I don't hear your prayers. You know, so a lot of these people are praying, but they ain't hearing it because they don't know they're guilty. So, and here, let me read Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So he creates evil. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant. Joe Biden's a servant. This whole business is God's servant. He's cleaning house worldwide, I think. It looks like it's a really big deal because it's in every country around the world. It ain't just here. And think of the people that are so willing to leave their homeland, like the Guatemalans, and come up here looking for something different, you know. And they do work. You wouldn't need if it wasn't for the Mexicans and the foreigners. You know, they got these H-2A workers. They're just glad. They work like dogs in all kinds of weather because they're, you know, they're hungry. They're absolutely hungry. And see, our people aren't hungry. They can live without working. And they don't really care. You know, we've totally lost the purpose. You know, and that's why there's no conversions either, because they don't teach sin. So when you know what sin is, then you'll have convert your heart. But all the churches don't, all this law is done away with. Well, when you take the law away from the church, the world's in chaos.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Paul, you were sitting there talking about prayer and all this other stuff. There's a proverb, and I know I'm going to butcher it, but it says if you don't have any respect or uphold the law, then your prayers are an abomination before him. So we have an entire Judeo-Christian system up there. Like, they sit there and they pray, and they get all these crazy results that don't mean nothing, but they're all an abomination to the Lord. And then on the other hand, I mean, do you see any of these preachers on TV or wherever? I mean, I wouldn't know because I don't really watch TV anyway. But are they saying, like, this is God paying us back because we're not upholding his law? You're getting invaded because that's what God said. If you don't keep his politics and you don't embrace them and cling to them, you don't see any preachers talking like that. And, you know, I mean, that's where the root of the problem is. I mean, people, it's like what Pastor Peters used to say. He's like, they just create all this confusion and people don't know. And, you know, that's why, you know, when we're out there talking with people, you're talking with Judeo-Christian people that think that they know. And when you're talking with somebody that thinks that they know, you got yourself a fight on your hands because you can sit there and you can whip them biblically up and down, left, right, any way you want. Beat them hands down, and they don't even realize they just got their butt handed to them, biblically, because they think they already know. And so it's a huge task that we have on our hands. Repentance is a tough thing to do. You're taking all of your old training, ripping it out, and coming up with a new set of rules. And the older I get, the more difficult I realize it actually is to do. And, like, I remember when I was on the fire department and we would have training, and they would always say, fall back on your training, fall back on your training. Well, when you show up to something and it's so overwhelming and your senses are going berserk, what's the first thing you do? You make sure your personal protective gear is on. You start doing senior assessment. You do your training that was already built back in. You have to put in new training. That's what repentance is. It's a huge task, what we have in front of us. And we're going to have to be brought down low in order to be retrained, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And it, like, was mentioned, Paul, you mentioned it, that the people don't know who they are, and they don't know sin. You know, Webster's Dictionary took sin out of the collegiate, out of their Webster's Collegiate Dictionary several years ago. The word is not even in there. Because, it's just not relevant today. The college students aren't using the word, and we want to stay relevant. And so that's how, like was said, it's things have changed. They have changed, and the people just don't even know. It reminds me there in Revelation when it says, you know, you think you're rich and well and fat and happy, and you're poor and wretched and blind. The people just don't know. And like you mentioned, Zach, especially the Judeo-Christians, they think that they're just right there. That they are just batting 1,000, that they're right on track, that they're just, you know, as soon as that rapture comes, baby, they're going to be first in line, and they don't have to worry about it. And they just, you know, they think that they're fine, and they're not. And it is difficult to get that across to them. It absolutely is, but we have our work cut out for us.
The Bible calls it backsliding. We've been backsliding for a long time, and it's coming to a head. This didn't just happen. You know, they tell you about kids today. I say, yeah, look who raised them. You know, they have put Uncle Sam in a place of God's place. You know, we used to have prayer meetings for rain. Now they got circle interrogation. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Well, they've done everything in their power to get out of the way from, the curses of God, and they think they can get there, but it just keeps getting worse. And how many people are on antidepressants? Now, that's the hand of God trying to humble them to repent, but they go buy a pill and, you know, they feel pretty good, you know, for a while, but it does not lasting. All the foundations have been torn down. It will be put back. I just believe it, God's in control, and he's going to humble us how low we need to go before we repent, you know. And I don't matter who you are, if you have millions or billions or pauper, it's going to get us all. So there's no getting around it. And his hand is moving. I think it's the final one, personally. You know, Pastor Peter died on 7/7/11, meant complete destruction. I always said he was the last prophet. So that's a real possibility. It's just an idea. Could be wrong.
Well, I think we're seeing those things go on. I mean, it's all around us. There's people have violated the rules of God. You know, Joshua was told when he went into the land of Canaan to remember the statutes and judgments of God and the law of God, or God would, you know, rain down the curses. There's a list of that. And then it says, be strong and courageous, which is like saying, remember my law, and to paraphrase it, remember my law. And it's not going to be easy to do. And I think that's this feeling of ease all the time, or this people, and that's part of the reason they're on the antidepressants, I think, is everybody just wants the easy street. You know, they just want to, it's like, well, you say a prayer, you walk down the aisle, and, you know, you duck them. If some of them are really there close, why, they might get ducked under the water, and then they think it should just be a cakewalk from there. And it's like, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you better get it right, because if you don't, the downside of that lasts for a very long time. And so, you know, it's a one-shot deal at that point. I mean, when that last trumpet sounds, it's all over but the crying. And it sounds like there's going to be quite a lot of that going on. But the other thing that I think is interesting, and I'm always, Psalms 31:19 is one of those kind of verses that I think 19 through 21, and it says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have performed for those who take refuge in you before the sons of mankind. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the pride of man. The New American Standard says conspiracies of mankind. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown his marvelous faithfulness to me in a besieged city. That's where we're at right now. It's a besieged city. We got foreigners here and foreigners there and Antichrist forces all around us. And the strife of tongues, you try to say anything, you're shouted down, you got triggered people all over the place. But there is those who fear God or want to fear God, and they're looking. So, I take some hope in that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I was reading the tie-in with that in Ezekiel 38, 39, and 40. And it's very possible that, in verse 38, it talks about Gog, and it talks a lot about Gog and Magog. And we've got a good book on it written by Colonel Jack Moore that's really good. If nobody's read it, I would encourage getting it. But in 39, it kind of describes on kind of what's going on here. And I was reading to focus in on verse 12. It says, for 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. And it talks about, you know, basically 38, 39, 40 talks about an invasion. It talks about an invasion of a foreigners. And then it goes through a cleansing. And then, I mean, you think about it, 7 months to bury the dead. And then it talks about God putting basically a wall, his own wall up, and protecting the land again. And I don't know, me and Paul talked about it, but we haven't talked about this in years and years and years. But you think, Paul, that could be leading up to the Gog 39 or the Ezekiel 39 prophecy?
I believe it is. I believe we're there, but I don't want to say that it is because I don't know for sure. We'll play it out, but it sure.
I don't either, but I think it's a good possibility.
It's a real possibility. Well, that earlier on with that valley of dry bones, when I look across a crowd of people, I'm looking at a valley of dry bones. They're spiritually dead.
Yes.
And I think that's what that means. And that's what we're dealing with, And there will be a remnant wake up, but there's will be quite a few that go down to the ship. It's all where you turn for your remedy. If you're going to turn to the sources of antidepressants or some psychiatrist or something, or you can turn back to God. And the ones that do will survive. You got to the end. We're going to be tried. You become a Christian, you think it's easy street. That's the last thing it is. You start getting tested in all kinds of ways. And God says, well, I just want to see if this Marine's going to cut it. And that's what it is. We're going to be tested. And it's you will be hated. God said that. You will be hated when you tell the truth. But I think we turned the corner. Zach and I talked yesterday. There's people looking. And you're talking to the wind until someone wants to know. I do know that much from experience.
Yeah, I'd like to start reading 39, verse 11. It says, on that day I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by, so that they will bury Gog there with all his hordes. And they will call it the valley of Hamagog. For 7 months the house of Israel will bury them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the people of the land will bury them, and it will be to their renown on that day that I glorify myself, declares the Lord God. They will set apart men who will constantly pass through the land, bearing those who were passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. And at the end of 7 months, they will make a search. And as those who pass through the land will pass through by anyone sees a man's bone, then he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley. And even the name of the city will be Hammon, so they will cleanse the land. And I think it's worth people taking the time and reading, spending some time in Ezekiel. Josh, we haven't heard from you here yet this morning. What do you got to say on the matter?
So, a little while back, I guess a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting here talking to a friend of mine that, you know, one of us, pretty good guy, and we were sitting around a fire outside just talking, and he made the statement that if he had to, that he would give up everything he's got. He said that, in his opinion, what we needed was an invasion. And he stated that, quote, that hard times make strong men, and then strong men make good times, and good times make weak men, and weak men make hard times, and that cycle. And he said that we're on that tail end of those, you know, we're going into those, or maybe in the hard times. And in his opinion, what we needed was an invasion. We needed somebody to come kick our behinds and weed out the tares. He didn't use that term, but and strengthen the real men, you know, to raise up men again so that we can take our country back. And he said he didn't want to, but that he would trade everything that he had for that, because he felt that strongly about it for his children and for my children and for our country. And, you know, this isn't a tinfoil wearing, you know, crazy conspiracy guy. This is just a, you know, regular guy that sees what's going on. And I think it's important that when we look at things, that we look at them with a positive outlook. You know, we continuously talk about that, and that, you know, whenever you're being chastised, it's not fun, but it's what you need. And it's good for you, and it's not a negative. You just got to remember that whenever we're going through these trials and tribulations, because they are here upon us, and they are coming, but they are to make us better.
Amen. You know, Josh, that's the attitude that the founding fathers had. You know, whether it was Washington or Jefferson or Adams, there were a couple Adams, you know, that was their attitude. And they did. Most of them that signed the Declaration gave up everything they had, family, wealth, lives. You know, they did that. And so that, you're absolutely right. I think that's the, you know, that's a different attitude today, but that's a good attitude. It's an attitude of what's needed.
You know, people talk about end times, you know, that's the end of the world, you know, and I was talking to a guy the other day, but, you know, it's the end of the world. I said, no, wait a minute. Every time God cleaned house, who was left? God's people. The wicked always go. You know, he cleans house for his own glory. Let me read here in Ezekiel. I'll read two verses, Ezekiel 21 and 22, right on the tail where Jason was. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day forward. I can't wait for that day.
Amen.
You know, I actually heard a preacher on the FM radio preaching about that, the fact of, you know, the last times and end times, and who was going to be the one leaving. And I couldn't believe whenever he said exactly what you just said, Paul. There are those there that know the truth, and they're waking up and they're saying it.
Well, it's good. There's no, you know, there's a There's repentance going on in this land. This whole Budweiser thing was repentance, because that wasn't about beer. It was about the perverts. That's what the whole state said. We don't want that no more. Now, they're on the tip of going in the right direction. And I just see that as a positive thing that happened, that could be such a big thing and instantly. But that's the Israelite people. You know, they're guilty as heck, but they're starting to call right and wrong. And I just think need to... let me hear your opinion on what's that, but I just think it's a tip of the iceberg.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think we're seeing it all over the place. I mean, and it's not, it probably, the voting with your money thing. I mean, that is, especially when I see all these people, it's like 2% of the population, and it's a nefarious plot. I mean, the Bible calls it a conspiracy. Imagine that. But I was talking to somebody the other day about conspiring to different things, and I said, I've never heard the word used conspire or conspiracy used with anything good. You see, we have a plan. God has a plan for us. But God doesn't have a conspiracy for us. But conspiracy is some guys getting together or a group getting together and deciding to do evil on someone. They conspired to do it. Doesn't mean it's fake. I mean, somehow they've brought this meaning of this word conspire to mean that it's some kind of phony thing. It's not. I mean, we're not necessarily. It could be. It might not be. That has nothing to do with that word. But the point is we see God's people waking up to the fact that they're in some kind of matrix that's been set up for them, that's someplace they don't want to be. And God has finally made it, what do you want to call it? You know, it's a gag reflex. You have different gag reflexes. I mean, some people have a really fine one. It doesn't take much, a whiff of a bad smell or something. Other people's is quite high. And God's people right now, it's got to be something nasty enough to puke a buzzard off a gut wagon for him to want to turn away from it. So that's what God's given him. You know, it's like, okay, here you go. So I think we're seeing that.
The Bible talks about a conspiracy. It said prophet, priest, and king are all involved in it. If you can't see that today as true, you know, that like Judeo-Christianity, they're part of the conspiracy, whether they know it or not. I think some know it and some don't. Well, you know, that steeple house where Zach and I were goofing around, there was one guy in there, you know, I talked about the two creation. He just wanted to kill that right then and there. He just jumped on it. Remember that, Zach? But, see, they don't, some people don't want that stuff out because, you know, the truth will set you free. And you go back into Genesis where it all starts and find, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. In Genesis, God created man and woman and he rested. And then there's another creation where he created Adam. And then he put them to sleep and took the rib out. But there are two creations here, and that explains a lot of things. You know, we're not all one, is what it explains. So the children of the devil, and then there's twice the sons of hell that have the ability that don't. So I think that's important to know. To start, you know, you start out in Genesis, you see that right away. There are different people. And then you have the Abrahamic covenant that explains everything. You know, I was raised in a church that taught the Abraham covenant, you know, but we were Gentiles grafted in. All they had to do was change the players, and they had them nailed right down on the, as right. But they were just thought they were Gentiles grafted in, and the Jews were still God's chosen people. And this one thing I was talking to the other day, well, he says, yeah, we're Gentiles grafted in. I said, well, who is Jesus sent for? I said, he's sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No, Israel's name was changed to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now, I said, he had 12 sons, didn't he? He says, yeah, he did. I said, now you're telling me that only one son gets to be chosen in? You know, and that stops them right in their track. I had a guy who said, look, change the subject instantly. I mean, that just blows the party apart, you know. So, yeah, they're biblically ignorant, to say the least.
Or obtuse. I mean, go ahead.
I wanted to mention something that Tim was talking about, like when we were talking about conspiracies a little bit ago. Well, like, you know, if you think about it, like, I happened to watch last night that news anchor, that Anderson Cooper, that bag, and he was talking about the town meeting that Trump did earlier this week, and he was talking about conspiracy theorists and all this stuff, and all this stuff that Trump was saying, it was all lies and this and that. And I'm not saying I'm for or against Trump, because I got my suspicions on that cat. But anyway, the point is, when you, like, and it scares people, that like those news anchors and all these people that are on top. Because when you have God's people start making judgments between right and wrong, it isn't a conspiracy to them. And the reason is because they lose their power and their riches, and the potential of them being on the bottom, and now all of a sudden that they have to borrow instead of us being the borrowers, is very real in their mind. So it is a conspiracy to them. It all depends on what side of the coin you're looking at. So they don't want that. They do not want that. We have to promote it. When you start talking about upholding the law of God to people, somebody's going down. That means God's people, Israel, is going up and going to regain power. That's what that means. They're going to take their rightful place. And like, so no, they don't want that. They understand the rules. They do not want that. You got to keep them preachers preaching incorrectly, because then they lose their power and their position. So it is a conspiracy to them. Not a good one. You know, it's good for us. They conspire against us by telling us to have different politics and not uphold God's law. That's a conspiracy to us. They're just as guilty of it as we are, or should be. I don't know if I said that right. You guys know what I mean.
Yeah, well, see, they don't get their power unless we sin. That's how they got to where they're at. You know how the international banker and everything rose so high to the top, when we went to the bottom, is because we're sinning. We didn't look at it. See, the government has nothing to give. It didn't take from somebody else. That's communism. This country has been communist as long as I've been alive, and I'm 71 years old. And I've lived in a communist country my whole life, because the government is not supposed to do anything except reward righteous and punish evil. And they're doing stuff they're not supposed to. They're doing stuff that the church should do, take care of their own. You know, you don't need Social Security and stuff. Take care of yourself. Get your hand out of my pocket, and I'd be able to a lot easier, but I'll do it anyway. So, anyway.
That's a conspiracy to me.
Yeah. And I think they're supposed to be protecting our borders, too, or something like that.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Stands to reason, right? Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to protect your home, and then your town, and then your township, and then your county, and then your country. That's the order it comes in. But you got to protect your home, so don't sell your guns, no matter what. And I don't know if we got enough guns to outgun them, but I do know one thing. If you get underneath and pray, God can eliminate them pretty quickly. He's done it before.
That's a fact. We stand ready to fulfill God's will, and that's the, I think that's the element of owning that kind of stuff and everything else. We don't depend on the arm of flesh. We depend on the power of God, but we stand ready to do whatever God requires of us or whatever. You know, we're prepared, or we're, you know, we're adequately prepared to all good works. And I think that, and I'm obviously, that's an ongoing process, don't get me wrong. I mean, but I just mean that, if you're trying to do that, God's going to bless you for it. And I remember one time we were doing a show on just food preparation and one thing or another, and a lady called in, Jason probably remembers, but she was saying, well, I've done some things, but, you know, what should I do? I mean, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have. And we were like, you know, the most important thing is to try. I mean, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, God's going to take care of the rest. And, you know, and it's one of those things. God makes up the difference. That's what he does to those who serve him. He overcomes. I mean, which one of us doesn't run into things in the course of our lives that are too big for us? And you know, remember the widow and the mite. She put her mite in the box, and she was blessed because of it. The widow who fed, was it Elijah?
Yes.
I get Elijah and Elijah. But, you know, she gave him the last of her food, I mean, and was blessed for it. I mean, God makes up. If you have faith, and if you're trying to do the right thing, and if you're trying to be in God's will and way, he will make up the difference. And he does it time and time again.
So we see that. Go on.
Oh, it does.
Don't be discouraged.
And we read about that right there in Ezekiel.
And I think that there's the scripture in Psalms 83 that, you know, it's as we talked about, you know, the physical warfare that's taking place too. I think that our prayer needs to be, we need to continue to, and we've been, you know, we used to have it, you know, it used to be something, and we've called at different times for people to be praying it, but I believe that that Psalms 83 prayer is something that we really should be focusing on praying, because I think it really hits quite home. And I'll read the first couple of verses in it, and, you know, due to time, I don't want to read the whole thing, but, boy, it sure hits home with what we've been talking about. Psalms 83, starting with verse 1, it says, O God, do not remain quiet, do not be silent, and O God, do not be still, for behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, Come, let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you that make a covenant. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, and the Hagarites, Gebel, Ammon, Amalek, Philistine, the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help with the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian and with Sisera and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became as dung of the ground. Make their nobles like Orb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, Let us possess for ourselves the pasture of God. And I don't know, this is the scripture right here. I think that's one is, you know, as Christian men that we need to just, we need to pray it and believe it, and encourage others to pray it too, because this is the spiritual side of things and how we can combat what is going on and what has taken place. And, you know, how many is it going to take to, you know, have faith to and pray believing for God to answer the prayers? You know, sometimes we might be surprised. I mean, sometimes it only takes a few. And I like that song, give me 10 men and, you know, I'll give you 10,000 more. And, you know, we don't know how many it's going to take or what it's going to take to awaken people. But, you know, I know that, you know, it's going to come through people that are willing to take a stand, but it's going to be people that are willing to fight that spiritual fight also. And prayer takes a huge part in it. And we just need to continue to remember that and pray daily. That's, we talked earlier this week on, you know, Gideon's Armory about how important it was for people to, you know, to be praying for our wives and our children, our property and our possessions, and, you know, having that defense, because when we go into warfare, when we fight against Satan and his kingdom, he fights back. When we go to war, we've got an enemy that's fighting back. And, you know, the number one prep is, you know, prayer.
You know, I read a story a while back. I don't know where it was. Some of the British, when they were, you know, fighting, you know, they are Judah. But people were afraid of them because they had no fear of death. They believed that they had their faith in God, and they were just something to be dealt with at that time. But that was before the Revolutionary War. But they just had no fear of death, and they were just a fearful bunch of people. But then George Washington got on his knees and whipped them, and they got a little big for their britches, as usual. But they had no fear of death, and that's what we have to have, too. You know, I'm not afraid to live. You know, I'm just as soon live as not, you know, whatever God decides, that's his business. But what do we really have to fear? Nothing. I mean, you know,
that's
you
what Dad, yeah, Dad used to say, what are they going to threaten me with? Eternal salvation? eternal life,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, what... what have I got to fear?
Well, I think that's the other reason there's... Go ahead.
On that same note, Paul, I read this old report. It was a Roman report from a general that was translated, and this general was sent up because they were fighting with the Scottish people. I don't think they were just Celts then. And these Romans kept piling into these Celts, and they couldn't whip them. So they decided that they were going to have a meeting with all the clan leaders. And this German or this Roman general was like trying to talk to them, And he asked him, he's like, when you see all of our legions out there, because they were fighting, and like the Celts were outnumbered like 5, 6, 7 to 1. And he's, and they go, aren't you afraid? And their response was, we fear no man, but we worry about the ground opening up and swallowing us. And the guy sent back a report back to the emperor, don't bother fighting these people. We'll never beat them. And they actually stopped their campaign against them because of it. Like, no, this, we're not, we got to come up with a different plan to deal with these people. Fighting them was not going to be the answer. So I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, it is. I mean, and that's why that Clergy of the American Revolution book is, if you haven't ever read that, it's worth a read. I mean, they were preaching salvation and, you know, godly predestination and eternal salvation for God's people. There was a spirit in the land that was indomitable, and you know, it's like, well, if they'd give them anything but pastors, we could have beat them, you know. But since they were fighting against the words of God right out of the Bible, same thing, undefeatable. You know, it's like, nope. So,
you know, the Scottish Declaration of Independence says right in it that their ancestors crossed the Red Sea. Now, my daughter was from Scotland. She got me a poster. It's on my wall here, and it's all written in Latin, but that's what it said. And she bought it from Scotland, and the guy had no idea what it meant or said. You know, she said, well, how do you know this? She said, well, I don't know, because I told her, I guess. But the people in Scotland didn't even know where they came from, so at least that guy didn't. And I don't think that's – I think that's pretty different. Because they might cross the world, all the Israelite people don't know who they are. Isaiah 1.
Yeah, Stonewall Jackson,
God,
even
crazy.
This
world is not my home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you hear. You know, Stonewall Jackson had a quote. He says, my Christian beliefs teach me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time of my death. I do not concern myself with that, but to be always ready. Always ready, no matter when it might overtake me.
No.
And it is. And it, I think that's right in line with those Celts. That's right in line, because some of them still knew. Tim, like you mentioned, that clergy and revolution of the, or clergy and chaplains of the Revolutionary War, the sermons that were preached, the society that was there, it is what strengthened the men and the women that fought, that formed this country. And it was, as Pastor had taught, you know, that was one of the battle cries, was no king but Jesus. Paul, you've mentioned it before. They were going to elect George Washington king, and he said, I ain't going to be king. We have a king. I'll just preside till he returns. And it was. It's such a and of course that's not taught today. It's part of the enemy's plan. It's part of the cursing that the enemy does. Yeah, they can't come against us, but they can create opportunities for sin. And they realize that if they can keep this knowledge away and keep, as was said earlier, keep those Judeo-Christian preachers preaching falsely, that this world ain't my home. Make sure you get to rapture practice on Tuesday night, and you know, just don't worry about this other stuff. That they think they've got it destroyed. They think they've got it won. You guys talked about being prepared. Ezekiel 38. We've been reading in Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel 38 verse 7 says that very thing. Be prepared, and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. And, you know, that being prepared has many aspects of, yes, physically, as we've talked, but spiritually as well. And I think we're seeing that in our life, in our time right now, that if you are spiritually prepared, you have people come to you. You have people ask, hey, whether it's to pray because somebody is sick, or to pray for the land, or whatever it may be. It's not just a physical preparation there.
Well, you know,
to wrap around to where we started this and talking about that invasion before we run out of time. So the way we're going to frame that is, thankfully, they are stepping up the invasion, and it's getting worse and worse, and we're one day closer to having nowhere to turn but to God for the answers for us to be able to make it. And we're one day closer to Him raising up these godly Christian mighty men of old that are still here, that still have His word on their heart, their law on His heart, and the power that comes through Him and the blood to get our country back where it needs to be.
I think we're already there. We're just realizing it. Yeah, we're there.
We watch all these things, and like, you know, a group of guys like us, we really need to rejoice, because it just lets us know that our thought process and our belief system is true, because it proves that the word of God is true. So it should just make us be more confident.
Yep.
Amen.
Kind of like that prodigal son returning back.
Yep.
Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Phone lines.
If you're gonna spare anything.
That's right. And, guys, on the phone lines, you just got to call earlier. It's. But thanks for joining us, guys. God bless. Have a great weekend. And, folks, we hope you'll join us for church tomorrow. Starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.